Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Among the events marking International Women's Day today is one at the Vatican. At a Vatican conference marking the day, some Catholic women gathered there say women are leaving the church because its leadership is not helping to change the power imbalance between men and women. Also, just last week, a Vatican magazine, published a piece about how nuns are often underpaid and underappreciated. Many working for cardinals and bishops for little or no pay. Some say women speaking up to the all-male church is a sign that things are changing in the church and show that the church is not immune to the Me Too movement that's sweeping the world. We're joined now from Rome via Skype by Claire Jean-Gravert. She's a reporter for CruxNow.com. Claire, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Deborah. I'm really glad to be here.
So what was your takeaway from this Vatican conference today?
Well, you know, it was a conference that very much was based on the fact that it was taking place outside the Vatican grounds. I mean, for the last 4 years, Voices of Faith has been taking place inside the Vatican walls and in a way underneath the Pope's patronage. Mm-hmm. But this year it's kind of special because three of the candidates were not, of the speakers for the event were not confirmed by the Vatican without really offering a response, but we can assume that it's because they have their stand concerning mainly pro-abortion rights and gay and LGBT issues.
And so you had to do it. So the conference was held off Vatican property because of the Vatican's concern about three panelists, seemingly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that created a sort of conversation that was ongoing throughout the conference between the women who had a platform to speak and voice their issues concerning the church and, you know, the people who were beyond that wall. And so mainly Pope Francis and calling for change and calling for, you know, the word that was repeating constantly was the time is now. And moving a little bit away from what traditionally was the position of pushing for the ordination of women. Normally, Voices of Faith has been very vocal on this issue and kind of adopting a more general approach that tries to move in, okay, if this is off the table, then where can we get women to be more relevant and get their voices heard inside the Catholic hierarchy? Mm-hmm. And of course, the former Irish president, Mary McAleese, had, you know, she's got some great quotes there.
She was one of the folks that the Vatican seemingly was concerned about, which was what made the conference move to a new location. Is that right?
That's true. Yes.
And so what did she say?
Well, she described the church as this awkward pigeon that only flies with one wing and refuses to use the other. And she also defined the church in a way as a carrier of the toxic virus of misogyny. So she didn't hold back her thoughts. And in a way, this was a perfect platform for her to voice them because it was no longer underneath the Vatican's patronage.
Now, we mentioned the piece in the Vatican magazine, Women Church World, and that piece really publicized how some nuns said that they essentially felt like servants for some of the men working in the church. Was there talk about that piece, or have you heard any reaction to that?
Well, it wasn't directly mentioned, but there was a concern for how religious women were treated within the church and the role that they played. Religious women are, you know, two-thirds of the church. And it has a certain weight, the way that they feel and the way that they believe they are treated. Now, I'm sure that that article did not represent the full spectrum of how religious women feel within the church. But in a way, it put a spotlight on certain issues. And it was certainly, it was reflected, though not directly, at the conference. But what it shows is, especially in these past 2 weeks, there's been some sort of fermentation and bubbling of interest and what the role of women should be in the church, not only from outside forces such as this conference of the Voices of Faith, but also inside. There's something, because this was a Vatican newspaper, I mean, a magazine attached to what is considered the Vatican newspaper. Mm-hmm. So there's an air of change that is happening that is not only outside the church, but is also within it.
So
and that's what's interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry. So Claire, I'm just wondering, is it too strong of a statement to say that the church is really in a changing position right now, and perhaps it's part of what we're seeing around the world in the Me Too movement?
Well, you know, I had the opportunity to the Me Too movement was referenced a lot At the conference, and definitely that plays a major part when it comes to the lay women who are standing up and asking to have a bigger voice within the church. No doubt the church reflects the culture it's immersed in. But at the same time, I had the pleasure of interviewing Lucetta Scaraffia, who is the editor of that magazine, the Vatican magazine that published the piece on the religious sisters. And she said that really what we're looking at right now when it comes to the religious sisters is not so much a reflection of what's happening outside, but slowly nuns have been starting to read and gain interest at the theology, going back to the gospels, trying to understand what the role of women in the church should be. And it's taken a long time to kind of 30 years and more to kind of take hold. But most things in the church take a long time. It's a millenary institution. But basically what she describes is this slow taking, just acknowledgement that things don't have to be a certain way.
So essentially, this Me Too movement is affecting lay women, but not necessarily religious sisters.
Exactly. No, what's happening with them is the books that are written by women who are taught in Catholic institutions, really knowledgeable when it comes to exegesis, theology, understanding of liturgy, and they're writing things and looking at the Gospels and saying, well, maybe this doesn't have to be this way. And nuns are reading those books.
So not necessarily a turning point for the church.
Well, everything takes time with the church.
All right. Claire Jean-Gravert is a reporter for CruxNow.com. She joined us from Rome via Skype. Claire, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Deborah.
We want to turn now to two religious sisters to talk a little bit more about this. Joining us on the line from Washington, D.C. is Sister Simone Campbell. She's a longtime activist and executive director for Network Lobby Social Justice. Sister Simone, thanks for being with us.
Oh, great to be with you.
Also in studio with us is Sister Margaret Guider, a professor at Boston College School of Theology and Ministry. Sister Margaret, thanks to you.
Thank you.
So I want to start with you, Sister Margaret, since you're sitting right in front of me. What do you think of what we just heard from Claire Jean-Gravert about possible changes in the church and nuns? She says we're reading a lot more of things that were written by women, and that is really prompting perhaps a change in thinking in the church.
Well, I had the opportunity to participate in the live streaming for the conference coming from Rome today. So that was a privilege of sorts. I think it would be fair to say that women religious have actually been reading for a very long time, and that it is not something recent that actually through education, through reading of all kinds of materials from many different disciplines, their awareness is actually very heightened, regardless of where they fall on the spectrum, from more traditional to more progressive. I think you're talking about largely educated women and women who understand their roles in church and society, but who have had different ways of negotiating that. So the level of awareness, I think all of us are in a process of greater awareness.
So what did you think of the conference?
I thought the conference was very interesting. One of the things that I thought was most interesting was the younger voices that were profiled of younger women. Oftentimes, these conferences will be represented by women with more experience, higher profiles, and the number of women, for example, representing Jesuit Refugee Services was very thought-provoking. I think the issues raised by Mary McLeese were very critical. And I think one of the most important things that she said had to do with the fact that Cardinal Farrell himself said, well, the issues around women, it's all a process. And she basically said, well, it's time to press the button and get the process moving. And that it is not sufficient that we have more and more documents coming out and reports, but that these reports are connected with strategies and outcomes and plans that actually take us somewhere, not that it's just a report delivered.
Take us somewhere where?
I think moving into the future, what will this mean? I mean, the question is, where will the Roman Catholic Church be with regard to women 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? So the process is how to keep women engaged in the church, women who share some values together, but who also have different perspectives. I think this conference represented certainly one perspective, but it is not representing all of the whole spectrum of women in the life of the church. So any conference is subject to a limited number of voices, but I have to say that there were many issues on the table in this conference, all of which were very thought-provoking given this day of International Women.
Mm-hmm. I want to get Sister Simone in the conversation. Sister Simone, did you also participate in the live stream at all?
No, unfortunately. I was doing my work here in Washington, D.C., but I was honored to be one of the speakers last year at their conference. And so I know the organization well, and I know their commitment to women's voices and to making sure that, as Sister Margaret says, that a wide variety of voices are in the conversation, and especially their emphasis on getting younger women in, I think is a tremendous asset and a gift to the church and to the dialogue.
I'm wondering, do you think that things need to change, in part because it's an institution and all institutions need to evolve to grow, right? But also because of what we're experiencing culturally right now in terms of the Me Too movement and where society around the world is saying that things need to change for women. How is that affecting the church?
Well, as Sister Margaret noted, the church is a little slow, but yet, on the other hand, I think in many dioceses, in many parishes, in many practical ways, women's leadership has existed for a very long time. And what's happening, I believe, is that leadership and participation is finally getting acknowledged. The article that came out with regards to sisters being in more servant roles, mm-hmm. that is not principally true in the United States, that in the United States that religious congregations have done an amazing amount of working and renewal and study and have reclaimed their founding charisms. And for most of us, it's about service at the margins of our society, or engagement in education, or being involved in healthcare. And that recovery then has led us to significant leadership roles in the United States. That's not necessarily true around the world, and that's been one of the struggles, especially in nations we call developing nations. I know specifically in Africa, the challenge of educated women being forced by bishops in that area to serve them as opposed to follow, to teach or to do other things that they've been trained for. So I think in the global church, the level of growth needed is much greater than in the U.S. church. In the U.S. church, we have abundant leadership. The issue is recognition.
Sister Margaret, you wanted to say something.
The one thing I'd say is that there are a number of religious congregations that their charism is the care of priests and seminarians and bishops and cardinals. And I think it's important to understand the dignity of work of housekeepers that are treated justly, that are recognized. And one of the issues in this article was the woman, this woman religious, Sister Maria, saying she had done all this work. Never was she asked to sit at the table to share a cup of tea or anything like that. Yeah. I think that speaks to the fact of a certain sense of entitlement on the part of the cleric or bishop for whom she was working, that disregarded any sense of justice or gratitude or fundamental relationship. But I would just want to highlight that fact of those women for whom this has been understood as a vocation, and that their work not be underestimated, but on the other hand, that we have recognition of those whose service has been taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, Pope Francis, he's considered a fairly progressive pope, and he did tweet today that he said he was thanking all women who every day strive to build more humane and welcoming societies. Sister Simone, do you think that we might see changes under this pope?
Well, in fact, we have already seen changes. It's just that they're not terribly present in everyday life. And I think the fact of the study of the diaconate for women is a big step forward. And I understand that they're getting prepared to bring that study to a conclusion, and hopefully some action will follow from that. Women have been appointed for leadership roles within the Roman various administration, and so those changes have happened, but where we need more recognition is in the daily life of the church in the United States. There are some places where women's leadership is acknowledged and promoted, but we don't have enough of it. But it's coming. Of necessity, it's coming. So I hold out some hope.
Sister Margaret, are you seeing any changes under Pope Francis in terms of power dynamics?
I think the conversation has broadened. The horizon for discourse and dialogue, I think, has enlarged. In fact, even today at today's conference, there was a young Jesuit there, Luke Henson, who was part of the panel discussion, representing a voice of a new generation of priests and what he has learned from his women colleagues. It was a very, very powerful testimony in terms of what he's learned about women's realities and how that has transformed his consciousness and also his ministerial and pastoral practice. So I think there's a way in which, yes, things are changing under Pope Francis, but popes live and die and come and go, and the church continues. So the question is how, in terms of the grassroots, will the grassroots carry on what this papacy has initiated in these past 5 years.
I wonder, I read some really startling statistics about the number of women versus the number of men in the church. And there are a lot more women in the church than there are men, and yet women are not in leadership roles. I'm wondering if it's difficult. I want to ask both of you this question. Is it sort of difficult to accept that as a woman working in the church? Sister Simone.
Well, as you say it, I just kind of smiled to myself because, you know,
you knew where I was going.
Yeah, I did. My work is all about working in the federal government, and I sort of joke and sort of am serious where I say, well, I want to work in this federal government for legislation where I have a hope of change, but as opposed to the church, that's extremely slow. But the other day I was giving a talk and we got into this conversation about women's leadership in the church, and somebody in the audience in the question and answer part, they said, but Sister Simone, you are a leader in the church. And it was like, really? Oh, I never thought of it that way. And I think for me, it's about us being faithful to mission. And if we're faithful to mission, to the place we're called to doing the work of, as I would describe it, of the Holy Spirit. People describe it differently, the providence of God or the place where you are called to serve, that if we are faithful to that, then the needs of the community get met. And I think the fact that so many people are finding themselves non-institutionally religious, but really look to women religious for a leadership and a pastoral work that is about caring for their spirits, and that service then in a sense becomes church leadership outside the formal structure. So I'm all about supporting leadership at wherever it shows up, including bishops, but also including in laity and women religious.
Sister Margaret?
Well, I think the important thing is how we occupy space wherever we are. And right now, I think in the life of the church, roles of in terms of leadership for women, there's a way in which we don't want this to be reduced to token appointments or kind of trickle-down possibilities for women, but that women actually see intergenerationally models presented to them by women who have gone before them, as well as their companions, how it is that they can engage roles of leadership and authority and the exercise of power that is a power that is productive. And often that times that comes from shared engagements, not just the individual leader, but women leading together. And hopefully that kind of modeling will help take us into the future.
Into stronger leadership roles in the church itself?
Well, one could hope, I would say. Yeah, we always live in hope.
Well, I guess, and last question here, because we do want to, we are talking about this Me Too movement and cultural shifts and whether they are affecting the church and asking women in the church about that. And of course, today's conference is a perfect time to do that. But if there are changes or differences, really, in other areas of the world in terms of where nuns work, where sisters work, and how they're appreciated or not appreciated for their work, that's largely cultural. If it's better here in the U.S., it's because our culture wouldn't tolerate it. If our culture is getting to a point of not tolerating women not being heard, women's voices not being heard, and women not having an equal place at the table, what does that do to women in the church? What's your answer to that, Sister Margaret?
Well, my answer to that would be, how is it that we break a culture of silence? And that women do not engage in self-silencing when it is really important that we speak. And I think a movement toward greater communication, truth-telling, transparency, and helping engage others in a dialogue that is productive and authentic about issues of great importance is one of the challenges that we face. And
all right. Sister Simone, just a few seconds here. What would you say?
Well, I would say I don't want to lose the fact that the Me Too movement is also not just a dislocation of women from leadership. It's also about sexual exploitation and inappropriate touching or experiences with men. And We have a bad history in the church of that Boston knows painfully well with minors, but also with adults and in power positions. And so the thing that we really need to do is to stand together, to self-silencing should not occur, and we need to move forward the gospel, which is all about everybody using their voice and being able to see the broader reality. And I often, one of my prayers is the prayer of the man in the scripture that said, "Lord, that I may see." May we see the way forward and act so that everyone lives in dignity.
All right, Sister Simone Campbell, Executive Director for Network Lobby Social Justice, thanks for being with us from Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
Also, Sister Margaret Guider, who's a professor at Boston College School of Theology and Ministry. Sister Margaret, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.